Hello and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me, the star of the show, the former WWE and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, but it seems like Vince McMahon might not be doing too good. Have you heard the latest in the saga of Vince McMahon?
I caught a little bit. Bring me up to date.
So they were able to find out through the Wall Street Journal and I guess through the board of directors, he had spent $12 million on four women as hush money and to pay him off, and they were, I guess, affairs. They were saying that alleged sexual misconduct, but they all signed NDAs, and you know, he basically paid them off for sleeping with them.
That's a strange one, huh?
Oh, yeah. Perfect timing with that horn in the background, too. But, yeah, that's weird.
That's the ferry. That's the ferry. You know, when it rains, it pours, right? I mean, we thought it was only one. Now it's four. How many more are going to come up? And I thought about this. How many more women performers from the past who have been let go are going to come out too? What do you think?
I feel like we're just opening up Pandora's box here, and we're just kind of discovering what's going on, because I feel like one all of a sudden turned into four. You're right. I feel like it's going to turn into eight, ten. Like it's. I don't think it's over.
No, I don't either. I don't think so either. And if it gets really bad, what about this cancel culture?
Yeah, definitely. Seems like they're getting on them already.
Yeah. And, go ahead.
Do you think any of this is illegal, though, like what he's been doing?
The only thing I can see that's illegal, right, is if he used company money. What else could be illegal about it? Did he do the Bill Cosby? I don't think so. You know, he didn't shoe fly them. So I think there's a real thin line there, don't you?
Absolutely.
What do you think? I mean, if he used his own money, I mean,
unless he sexually harassed them and forced them to do it, and it wasn't consensual, I could see that being obviously a big, big issue. But if it was his own money and it was consensual, I don't see the problem. And supposedly him and Linda haven't been together for a while, so it's technically not even an affair.
Yeah, supposedly. I heard that too. They live in two different places. So, I mean, when you get as powerful as him, and you have that personality, you get a lot of people disliking you, and they want to see you fall. I think the fall guy for this whole thing, is John Laurinaitis, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about him. I feel like he's definitely the fall guy. He's definitely going to be gone soon.
Yeah, I do, too, you know.
Golden parachute, though.
Yeah. But, you know, Vince is from a different era. Johnny used to. What was semi-acceptable back then, the boys' club, is not acceptable. And it's now the people in power to see if they can make things stick. So it's going to be very interesting to see, don't you think?
Yep, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, like you said, I think we're going to see more than four.
with all this, you know, stuff going out, it's funny, the stock took a little bit of a hit, but not a big hit. Do you think that the people that are looking to sue him for the stock going down because of the scandal, they have any leg to stand on? Or do you think that that's just crazy because it went down, but then it went right back up a little bit?
Yeah, I don't see how can you, I mean, you're going to have to connect the dots. Stocks rise and fall. I mean, so you're going to have to connect the dots to say that's what caused the stocks to go down. Can they prove that? I think it would be very, very difficult. All they have to do is look at what stocks fell the same week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be difficult, and especially since it's bounced back.
And it's funny because the ratings were going up because of the scandal. So maybe the stock went down a little bit but kind of went back up, but the ratings are going up because of it.
Isn't that strange? We want to watch the car wreck, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We want to slow down and see the car wreck. It's crazy.
Funny that he's been on TV a few times, too. Like, you know, I guess it's a big F you to everybody, but it was just funny that he would be on TV, but that created a bit of a ratings bump.
I wouldn't have thought he wouldn't have come on. He's Vince McMahon, brother. He's a fighter. He's a fighter. I mean, let's go back. Fought with the athletic commission, exposed the business. Then he beats the federal government in a locked win for them on the steroid scandal. Unscathed. Didn't even go to community service. And then everything that he's like Teflon Don. I mean, everything that's thrown at him hasn't stuck. I know it's a different time and different era, but I think, you know, he's going to have the best lawyers on his side. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he can lose.
So it's funny that all this is coming out, though, with NDAs, though. Do they have, like, a shelf life? Like, shouldn't this not be coming out because of the NDAs that these women signed?
I would think non-disclosure, supposedly, has no term that I, the little bit I know about them. So who broke them? I don't know. Maybe there's a different situation with sexual assault, you know what I mean? Somebody had to pick up that to charge it. So I don't know. It's going to be a long road, though.
So another kind of controversy that came up last week was Jordynne Grace and Chris Benoit. Did you happen to see that tweet that she put out there about Chris Benoit?
No.
So she's a wrestler for Impact. She's a women's champion. She said that, first of all, she tried to make a joke at him, and she said he wouldn't be able to hang with the guys today, you know, referencing how Chris died. She said he wouldn't be able to hang with the guys today. And I think she's kind of referencing her husband, who's the ROH champion. So she said that he wouldn't be able to remember the matches. I don't even think she realized it, but, like, isn't that – not really pro wrestling? Isn't it calling it in the ring instead of remembering the matches? But did you happen to, I guess, maybe catch any of that? Because I just thought that was a crazy comment by her.
Well, I think it was very poor taste. Very poor taste. And he could perform with anybody today. He was one of the greatest of all times.
She tried to drag Kurt Angle in there, too, and say that he couldn't hang with the guys today either. I was like, Benoit and Angle? Like, oh, my God.
Oh, please. Olympic champ, gold medal winner, please. Sometimes I think people use social media just to hear their clanging in their own head. I mean, why put something like that out? It's this way. How much money did Benoit and Angle draw? That's the bottom line. Until you come close to what they drew, not 1/100th or 1,000th what they drew. I don't think, that's just my opinion. I don't think people need to knock people that drew a bunch of money. And from what I understand, I've heard a lot of people say that Angle was the quickest guy to get wrestling. And he went from the amateurs to being on top in a very short time.
Definitely. Yep. The thing is, too, is so she has since apologized and now donated money to a, I guess it was some sort of CTE clinic or some sort of concussion clinic, so she donated money. And she did a little call with Chris Benoit's son, David, and apologized to him. So she kind of made up for it a little bit, but just the fact that she said it originally was pretty insane. People went pretty crazy about it.
She should have thought about his children before she made that statement. I mean, he has a daughter, too. You know what I mean? She should have thought, how is it going to affect the children?
Say what you want. He's a murderer. You know, you hate the guy. This and that. But I don't know. Like the one thing you can't attack him on was his wrestling. You know, if you say whatever you want to say.
She didn't think it out. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. It was a knee-jerk reaction, and she knew she made a mistake. I'm glad she reached out to David. Yeah. I mean, maybe she was trying to, in a roundabout way, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, a roundabout way, talking about the concussion syndrome and protocol, but it wasn't the right way to handle it. I'll give you an example. I had the match of the year with Benoit in Baltimore. I didn't say anything to him. We went all through the building, you know, we ended up in the bathroom and all that. I think maybe the only thing was, let's go home. It's time to go home. He was a true, true, true professional. Yeah, this is just my opinion. Wrestling is jazz. You improvise. It isn't that you go in the studio and lay track down after track down after track down after track down, voiceover, bringing the horns. I mean, wrestling is spontaneous. It should be. It looks more like a contest. I mean, you know, I think these kids today are way, way, way talented. I'd like to see some of them go in and say, hey, I'm going to try something new. Let's do this and let's just see what happens. And I think that happens with some of the bigger names like Danielson. I think he's fabulous. I ever even Kingston. I've really gotten to watch his stuff. He's brilliant. guys like that, I'm sure they're not, I'm assuming that they're not talking over the whole match. I mean, I go to, around and I see some guys and they got a 6-minute match and they're talking for 2 hours. What are you doing? I mean, if you're trying to memorize it, good for you. That's difficult though. Yes, because, you know, you're thinking about what the next spot is rather than relaxing and enjoying being out there. Right. Yeah. And back in the day, we were separated from one another. You know what I mean? The heels were on one side, the baby faces were on another. So you really couldn't do that. And the other thing was, if you couldn't see your opponent and you came back the following week, you weren't going to give them the same match. You weren't going to do the same spot. The heel is usually the general, yeah. But if the guy is much more experienced, he's a babyface, he'll go with the ring general. Oh. It was give and take. But we have worked so much together. Even though we didn't talk over the matches, this was a routine. I got the heat. He started to come back. I'd get some more heat. He started to come back. We'd get a bigger fight. I'd do a low blow or something. And then I'd really pile the heat on. Then he'd make the comeback and we'd go home. Yeah. Yeah, Briscoe and Funk. I mean, I know that's way back in the day, but that looked like a contest.
The tagline, a tidal wave of trash talking, body slamming, tsunami, fury, and the pay-per-view buys 175K.
Whoa.
Not terrible, but not good. Because last week we talked about 98K. Way down from the year before.
Yeah. Wasn't this start of the dilution of the NWO? A year ago.
Yeah.
No, but you think they would beg for that today, right? Yeah. You got to realize that wrestling is very cyclical. So now we come off that big wave. It can't last, and we start making a whole lot of mistakes. And problems start to arise.
So the main event for this show will be Savage and Sid versus Nash and Sting for the World Heavyweight Championship, and we'll get into it, but it's a tag match for the World Championship, but we'll get into that just in a second here. But what are you doing? What's Nash doing? I mean, he's the head booker. You're the assistant at this point?
Yeah, Kevin's, and, you know, Kevin doesn't get the credit he deserves. You know, he knew things were wrong. And he took that job when things were down. So I know he got a lot of flack on, you know, we talked about being a poker doom, and I've said he's a good soldier. That's what he was. Kevin was a soldier. He did what he was told. And he took over this when things were very bad. And I think he did a hell of a job, but they're getting bombarded to do have a big idea to get back on track. North Tower is telling them. So I think things are very difficult for Kevin, and I think he did the best job he could.
So as far as being the assistant at this point, are you like all on board with the direction that they're headed? Because right now it seems like WCW 99, a lot of influx. Kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it's all because getting the pressure from the North Tower. And it wasn't there. It wasn't there for him to get that heat. But I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to help. Maybe I wasn't doing the best job I could. I don't know. But I'm trying to help. And Kevin's put in a lot of effort into this.
So with this, obviously we have Nash is the champion as a booker. We've talked about this before. Are you okay with the world champion being the booker?
Kevin Seventh, right? Was in the most successful group of all times, right? Drew nothing but money. We bring that up all the time. Was the following Booker Russo the world champion?
Yeah, he'd be the world champ a few months later, but in 2000.
Yeah, okay. Did he become champion?
Oh, yeah, yep.
How much money did he draw? How was Sebastian's with Hogan? How was his matches with Sting? Dusty became a champion. He was a booker. The Funks were bookers of their territory. Holly was a booker. It was an accepted practice back then. But Kevin's one of the few that gets the heat over. And I think it's because he was so successful as a performer and a moneymaker.
It's funny. He does get a lot of heat over it. You know what I mean? He definitely gets the brunt of the heat over being champion. As far as, like, while he's booking. You don't always hear him. You hear about Dusty a little bit, but he got a lot of heat out of it.
He got the most I ever saw.
And do you think it's success? People jealous? People trying to get that spot? Like, what do you think was the real reason?
He was getting paid the most. Besides Hogan. We all think we can do that job we all think we should be on top. We all think we should be champion.
Do you think at this point with WCW, like as far as the pay-per-view, that you guys, because a big complaint was like you're putting matches you put on Nitro, but you're throwing them on the pay-per-view. You know, some of them are cold, some of them don't really make sense. Do you think that that's actually true? Like too many cold matches? And we'll have a few examples on the show, but do you think that's a valid complaint?
Yes. Yes. We lost our way. You know, it's like this. It's very hard to push the snowball up the hill. But once you get up the hill with the snowball, it will roll by itself. When you hit the bottom again, it's hard to push back up.
Definitely seemed that way, for sure. It was just like you guys were a lot of title changes, a lot of switches, a lot of sports entertainment kind of crap. Like with the Savage Nash feud, you guys did some things with the Contortionist and the pouring stuff and you know, the White Hummer and destroying limos. I mean, it seemed like you guys were, I don't know, grasping at straws.
Yeah, and I think that there was some outside influence about making it more sports entertainment. Like that White Hummer. That never came to fruition to me, anyway. I mean, it was just thrown together.
And you really wouldn't get the finish of the White Hummer until a year later, and they made it Bischoff, which didn't even make sense. So,
right.
Yeah, it not good, but it really... Like we've talked before, we have a whole episode dedicated actually back in the archives, but it could have been, should have been, and it kind of was teased that it was Sid. So,
yeah. You know, when you're seeing something and you know you're swimming against the stream, and you know when you're making suggestions that sound pretty good, but are getting overruled in the pack. You kind of say, well, I'm just going to go with the flow.
Was Nash getting overruled a lot?
Yeah.
Who's kind of overruling it? Like, is it like the guys in the North? Is there anybody specific?
There was a group, rather not mention, that we would go to a hotel. Kevin got us to be able to go to a hotel and do TVs. Kevin would, and he had me, Mike, Bob Mole, Hall would stop in, Pink Six would stop in, and when he would give them the TVs, they would be changed.
Frustrating dealing with that?
Oh, yeah. Especially for Kevin, I think. Kevin's a very smart guy. He's a wrestling fan. He knows what works and doesn't work.
So as far as the pay-per-view itself, as we're starting off the show, they start off, you know, do the little video package, talk about the main event for the title. Shivani, Bobby the Brain, and Mike Tenay are on the call. Great. I love that trio. We always talk about how we do
love
that trio.
Yeah, and I love Tenay.
Have you heard from him in a while?
No, I haven't. Wonderful guy. Wonderful guy.
I guess he's retired in Vegas, right?
Well, he lived in Vegas, I think, most of the time. When he was with us, he lived in Vegas.
So the first match of the night, Ernest the Cat Miller with Sonny Ono defeats Disco Inferno in about 8 minutes. This, again, would be a kind of one of those matches where, you know, it's not a whole lot of story to it.
I don't know, it was almost like they were almost teasing that the winner would not be able to dance again on WCW TV. Like, that was kind of the gist behind it, or the joke behind it. Nothing great here, nothing to write home about. But what do you think about Ernest the Cat Miller defeating Disco to start off the show?
I like both the guys. I think Disco's very, very talented. Sonny's a dear friend of mine. Ernest is a great guy. But we're starting off on a comedy spot. So, are we a scary movie, or are we Abbott Costello? Looks to me, we'll set the tone for Abbott Costello.
And we've seen the match on Nitro. And to me, it's not the hot opener that we're used to under your regime.
Well, there's some background with Cat being a friend of a friend. Disco, I really think he was a great performer and had a great response. Should have been in the middle, and I would have liked to. Should have been in the middle of the card on this one, but I would like to see, put him against a serious guy because he could wrestle too. He could work. But if we're saying a guy can't dance on Nitro, oh my God, we got to cancel his tour. He's not going to make Madison Square Garden to do his dance off with Prince.
Way too jokey, for sure.
Yep.
So we head to the back, and Mark Madden is backstage, and he's interviewing Judge Mills Lane, who will be in the ring as the special guest referee later on for a boxing match between Roddy Piper and Buff Bagwell. What did you think about Judge Mills Lane?
I love him as a referee in boxing, one of the great referees in boxing of all time. Do you know him from the fight game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great, huh? Did all the heavyweights. Tyson, Holyfield, Galata. I mean, he was great.
How'd you get him?
Eric got him. He has an agent. He had an agent. Eric called for an agent, I'm sure, and Eric got him.
Do you think he was still relevant here in 99? I know his big foray was really 97, but do you think he's still very much relevant here?
Yeah, he's still doing big fights. Still doing big fights. In that time, you know, the other guy I think about is Richard Steele. Do you know him?
Yes.
Yeah. They're the two referees that I was very, very impressed with.
So the next match, Rick Steiner defends his World Television Championship against Van Hammer. Rick Steiner wins in 3 minutes. Van Hammer does get some offense, but it's basically a glorified squash match here. Isn't that crazy? Van Hammer versus Rick Steiner. Like, I don't know. That doesn't scream pay-per-view match either.
No, it doesn't. Scream Saturday Night Squash.
What is up with that? How did Van Hammer get on this card?
A friend of a friend of a friend.
Do you think that Van Hammer, just anyway, in 99, like, maybe I could be on the roster, but he definitely shouldn't be on pay-per-views, right? Just the way he's been booked?
The way he's been booked. You know. So far, if I put, what is this, at the time, $39.99 or $29.99, the pay for the pay-per-view, what was it back then, JP?
Probably $39.95 or maybe $49.90, somewhere around that range.
I figured I'd throw my money out the window.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's why I always say the most important match on the card is the opening match. It sets the tone. It's like when you get to see, you go to see the Rolling Stones or, you know, Kiss or whoever that was a big name back in the day, right? They start off not with their number one song, but maybe their number three song. They get the people riled up right away. Wrestling is a lot like music. And now we're giving them sports entertainment. We're not the alternative program now. We're WWE Lite.
It just definitely felt that way, and it's just this pay-per-view, just to start, does not have a pay-per-view vibe to it. It just feels like, you know, like a crappy Nitro, basically.
I can't disagree with you.
So the next match up, David Flair with Rick, Samantha, Asia, and Arn Anderson defeated Dean Malenko in a match for the WWE United States Championship in 3 minutes. Obviously, there was a lot of chicanery and cheating going involved here, but David Flair is your United States Champion, and he's beating Dean Malenko. What in the world is going on here?
You tell me. In 3 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest technical wrestlers of all times. I love David Flair as a person. I mean, he was, my kids used to visit his kids. Rick's, I'm talking about Rick's kids. This was nepotism at its worst.
Totally, totally agree. And Samantha, who I mentioned, of course, is Tori Wilson, but she went by Samantha first, and obviously then take the name Tori Wilson. But Ric Flair hits Malenko with a U.S. title. That enables David to get the victory here. I mean, just awful written all over it. And for the fact that he's United States champion, Rick actually just gave him the title on Nitro a few weeks earlier. So, I mean, the whole thing is a mess.
Well, I bought the pay-per-view, and you've given me this start. You can see nepotism creeping in. And friendship creeping in. Not creeping in, it's an avalanche.
Absolutely, just terrible. David's whole shtick here, him being the, you know, the U.S. champion, is just awful all the way around. Just not good. And like you said, beating Malenko in 3 minutes. I know they cheated, but just was, oh man, not off to a good start at all on this pay per view. Three stinkers in a row. And that may not stop here, because we have an 8-man elimination match next. The West Texas Rednecks versus the No Limit Soldiers. So Conan, Rey Mysterio, Swole, and BA, a.k.a. Brad Armstrong, defeated the West Texas Rednecks of Kurt Hennig, Bobby Duncombe Jr., Barry Windham, and Kendall Windham. Match went about 16 minutes. Okay here, but what do you think about just the West Texas Rednecks and, you know, this group put it together? Barry, Kendall, Bobby Duncombe, and Kurt Hennig.
And they lost.
Yes.
Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig are two of the greatest workers of all times. Bobby Duncombe Jr. was going to be an uprising star. Got the business, second generation. Kendall's second generation. And they lost.
To Master P's No Limit Soldiers, which was led by Conan and Mysterio, but yes.
And they lost.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is Conan's a great performer. Ray is a great performer. Swole, so sure.
And this feud with the rest of Texas Rednecks and the No Limit, so I mean, it's been going on for a while, so this is like a big, long, extended feud here. And the actual winner of the elimination match would end up being Mysterio. So, I mean, he ends up getting the victory for the team, but still, you had the other guys, actually, excuse me, Mysterio and Swole were the sole survivors, but Mysterio pinned Kurt Hennig to get the victory. So all the other guys were eliminated. Bobby Duncan gets eliminated first, then Brad Armstrong, then Kendall, then Conan, then Barry, then Kurt Hennig, and then, like I said, Mysterio and Swole are your winners.
And I overlooked Brad Armstrong. Ric Flair says he's the top five babyface to ever work with.
High praise.
And I say, of all the babyfaces I ever worked with, he'd be the top five. So, do you think if you did this match today, people would think it was racist?
Oh, they would say for sure, because he's, you know, rap is crap. They're ripping on rap. They're really saying it's all about being a redneck. Even, you know, maybe even saying redneck. I don't even know if you could say that anymore. But yeah, all the way around for sure.
Yeah. It's white entitled guys against minorities, right?
Mm-hmm. Could say that.
I don't like the look of it. It was like when I went to Ole Anderson. I've told you this story about when I went to Ole and I said Ron Simmons needs to win the title on Martin Luther King Day, have Martin Luther III there, Coretta King there, and put the belt around Ron's waist, first black to win a world title. Ole looked at me and said, that won't draw a dime. I said, do you know that will be on the front page of every newspaper around the country? He said, you're crazy. Sometimes racism is not overtly seen. But you think that would have been on TV? Coretta King putting a belt around a fine-looking athlete like in a proud black man like Ron Simmons, and then some snow creature from Minnesota tells me that ain't gonna draw. I'm not that smart, but I know that shit that would have been big, wouldn't it? Or am I an idiot?
No, I think it would have been huge.
Yeah. And it would give wrestling a great light. It was ahead of its time, I guess.
Do you think BA, a.k.a. Brad Armstrong, is a bit miscast here, though, as part of the No Limits?
Absolutely.
Why is he with them?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Because maybe they couldn't find anything for Brad to do, and they did. Here's the thing. Brad Armstrong would be one of the biggest draws of all times if the Brad Armstrong in the dressing room went out and did a promo. You know how Road Dogg did the promos?
Yep.
His brother. That was Brad's. All of that shit was Brad's. And I said, Flair said he's one of the top five babyface to ever work with. Everyone in our family could work. Except Road Dogg. He was a great talker, but he wasn't as good as Scott, Brad, or Stevie, or Bob. But he had that personality that they all had. But Bob and Road Dogg were the only ones that brought it to the microphone. Brad was in it. Funniest guy I ever met in my life. Witty, one of my dearest friends. I trained him for a Mr. Atlanta teenage when he was 18, bodybuilding contest. For Flair to say he's in the top five babyface he ever worked with, you got to realize Rick was working with Brad when he was 18, 19, and 20, and then later on. Think about that. 18, 19, and 20, he's working for the world title. Yeah, he's misplaced.
Who put him in that group, though? Was that Nash, or was that somebody else that put him in that group?
I think somebody said, we got to do something with Brad. What are we going to do? We'll just throw him in there. This time, the water was piling into the Titanic. You know, remember the scene on deck with the orchestra? It was nice playing with your fellows.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was in that orchestra.
Did you like having Master P involved? I know he's hot at this point, and he's popular. Do you like having him involved in wrestling?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember why he didn't come back?
No. Mm-mm.
I think it was a Nitro they worked with his posse. And I'm not sure, but I think this figure is pretty going to be pretty accurate. I'm maybe off 20, so it's still accurate. His posse went through getting on a plane in Louisiana, and they collected 37 guns.
Oh, right, right. They were, yeah, yep. A little bit of trouble.
Is that a good look for WCW?
Definitely not.
Why, when you know, and this isn't being derogatory to anybody, but you know they've had problems before. What are they going to go and go to the Catholic Church and make an act of contrition and get their first communion? Come on. You know, we're doing things out of panic mode. It's nobody's fault. There was a lot of pressure. We all saw the writing on the wall.
Yep. For sure. And it's funny, today he owns House of Glory Wrestling in New York. So he's still involved in the business, you know, today. So he loves the business.
Good. He was a nice guy. It was just the people around him. He wasn't caught with a gun. I saw a Steve Austin podcast with Nash. And Ash tells the story when him and I come in on Nitro, and he says, and that's when Austin and Tyson did their deal, right? And I said to Nash, he said to Austin, and I said to him, the water's getting cold, isn't it? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, we hit the iceberg. We're knee deep in water. It's pretty cold, Kev. And he laughed, and he said, yeah, and that's what it was. Think about this, JP. We're the Titanic. We hit the iceberg. We're taking on water faster than any ship has ever taken on water. Titanic situation? How many lifeboats do we have? We're the children first.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys were in a bad spot here, in a bad way, no doubt about it. So the next match is not going to enhance the pay-per-view at all. It is the Junkyard Hardcore Invitational. Fit Finley, Brian Knobbs, Cyclope, Dave Taylor, Hack, Horace Hogan, Hugh Morris, Jerry Flynn, Johnny Grunge, La Parka, Mikey Whipwreck, Rocco Rock, Silver King, and Lord Steven Regal are all out in this crazy junkyard with weapons, and it was a Hardcore Invitational match. Eventually, Fit Finley wins this match by escaping the junkyard in about 14 minutes. Man, like, who thought of this? This was terrible.
I don't know, but if you think about this, Fit Finley, Terry Funk says he's the second best guy he ever wrestled. Wrestled him in Germany. That's how he got to WCW. I called him after Terry told me that. I called him in Germany. Dave Taylor? At one time, do you know that Dave Taylor was there was three heavyweights in England that traveled all over the world? They were called the traveling heavyweights. They wrestled everywhere: Africa, Egypt, Japan, Indonesia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand, the Maldives. I mean, did you know that?
No.
You got Dave Taylor. You got Steven Regal. What's wrong with this pitcher? We can't figure out something to do with these three guys. Couldn't we put them in as the United Kingdom tough guys or something? Or just have them wrestle each other and steal the show? A voice in the wilderness doesn't get heard. You know the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest, you hear it?
And if nobody's there to hear it, yeah. So, do you have any idea who thought up this match? Because the guys that were in it weren't really announced. The camera views were terrible, shaky. There were shots from a helicopter up above, which couldn't have been cheap. It was just, I don't know, it was really just not well thought out, well planned. And it seemed like the guys could legitimately get hurt. And apparently Finley does legitimately get hurt in this match.
Is that when Knobs threw him through the table?
And he hurt his leg.
Yeah. Bullshit. It's bullshit. How do you devaluate a guy like Dave Finley?
Crazy to me, anyway. Just absolutely nuts. He would be out for, you know, quite a while after. I mean, he would wrestle a little bit as far as after winning the Hardcore Invitational. He had a few matches, but then he was out for about 5 months, and he really doesn't come back until late December. So, I mean, obviously that was bothering him, and yeah, you know, he'd be gone from the company in 2000. But it definitely seemed like that injury was lingering too. From this stupid match.
It was a drop foot. Where his foot had to be taped out to point straight. Stupid. I love Knobs, but he's careless.
Do you think the match just in general, like, do you really need to have a outside junkyard match to get the hardcore stuff over?
JP, it sucked. It sucked. Why are we doing an ECW type match now without Sandman, without Sabu, without Tommy Dreamer? We're throwing these guys that are really skilled professionals in there. Pretty stupid on our part.
So the,
and like you said, we had a helicopter on that piece of shit match. How much did that helicopter cost us?
Yeah, that's true. Just 30, nuts.
30 buys. Okay.
Yeah, yep. Just, I don't know, I'm not enthralled with this one. This was not good. This seems very WWE-like, you know what I mean? Like that WWE would do something like that.
Absolutely. Do you remember when we started this, I talked about sports entertainment?
Yep.
You don't think this does not look anything like the NWO, right? In the Horseman, does it? In Hogan, in Sting, and Randy, this looks nothing like that, does it?
Not at all.
They're getting pressure to make this sports entertainment. This is Brad Siegel's fuck up.
Why are you putting it on Brad?
He's a stupid. I had a meeting with him one time, and he said, what's the big idea to get us back on track immediately? So there's no big idea. We've lost sight of the goalpost. We're in the muck. We got to get out of the muck. You say, well, that won't do. We need to turn around to next week. It was another one. Guy knew nothing about wrestling. And didn't his roommate in college was Vince's lawyer when they bought WCW for $2 million and all the library?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You don't think he got a little payola?
Oh, it's tough to speculate, but I'm sure he got something. If
speculate. You've got 37 years of tapes. Please. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck.
They got quite the deal, and everyone's making a joke nowadays that, you know, Vince paid more to these women than he did for WCW, which is insane because, you know, his ROI on WCW, he made it back within like a week.
So you're going to try to tell me it's... could be legit? No, come on.
No, there's more to play there, for sure.
If you're going to tell me that, JP, I'm going to lay three cards out. We're going to play three card Monty, you and me. And I'm going to be the dealer.
All right, yes. Something is awry there. But as far as the pay-per-view, the only good match on the show, the Jersey Triad, DDP, Canyon, and Bigelow defeated Perry Saturn and Benoit in a handicap match to retain the WCW Tag Team Championship. Match goes 23 minutes. This is pretty good. And comparing to everything else in the card, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was the only bright spot on the card, I believe.
And as a handicap match, Benoit and Saturn are fighting for their lives. You know, there's a bunch of false finishes. It looks like they may win, but of course, because DDP Canyon and Bigelow have the advantage, they sneak it out and they get the win. But good match here. I really enjoyed it, and obviously, pretty much every guy in the ring was a hell of a wrestler.
Why did DDP and Canyon and Bigelow win?
Jersey Triad. They had the numbers advantage.
Well, what kind of numbers advantage do they have?
3-on-2.
No, the backing of people behind the scenes, maybe?
Oh, we're talking about that kind of advantage. There's no doubt about that, yeah.
Wouldn't it be exciting if the short-ended team won? And if you're going to elevate Benoit?
Or even Saturn, yeah, for sure.
Well, out of both of them, you're going to go with Benoit.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it.
Okay, so wouldn't everybody think 3-on-2? The 3's going to win?
Yep.
Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson.
Upset City.
Got people talking. 3 guys beat 2 guys. Big deal. Benoit fights for his life, blah, blah, blah. Comes from a beat down where the 3 of them got him in the middle of the ring and they're tagging like a great tag team should. Just beating the shit out of them. Tag, 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 tag. Tag, tag, tag. Perry tries to come in to push him. Perry back. He tries to come in. He grabs a towel, almost throws it. Benoit shakes his head. No, 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 no. They're beating the shit out of him. Beating the shit out of him. Tag, tag, tag. Benoit hulks up. Makes a big comeback. Boom. Comes off the top of the headbutt. 1, 2, 3. Let's wake some people up.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that finished?
Yep. I like that.
Finish?
Yeah. You've done this before. Yeah, I like that.
Eddie Graham.
Nice.
The guys that are around are smart. They're seeing everything. And the ones that are fairly intelligent can remember, still remembering. You know what I mean?
True. Yep.
Let me tell you about handicap matches. You know how handicap matches used to work?
No.
Okay. I'll give you an example. Say, the big city, St. Louis, used the Miami Tampa. Fritz von Erich in St. Louis, I know I'm going to get one of the guys wrong, had a handicap match with, it was either, yeah, Fritz von Erich had a handicap match against Bill Miller and Pat O'Connor. Think about that. What do you think? Bill Miller was the AWA World Heavyweight Champion, right? JP?
Yep.
Pat O'Connor, NWA champion, right?
Yes.
It was one against one, and Fritz beat both of them, but it wasn't two guys at the same time. That's how handicap matches started.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So, should we give the people a little jolt? They're seeing we've fed them fucking problem for the whole show so far.
Would have been nice. And Benoit could have been, you know, elevated, yeah.
Yeah. You know, you got to come out of these pay-per-views elevating people. If not, you're just doing a Saturday night 6:05 show.
Very true.
Yeah.
So the next match, Buff Bagwell with his mom, Judy Bagwell, defeats Roddy Piper with Ric Flair in a boxing match with Judge Mills Lane as a referee. Match goes 6 minutes, 30 seconds. It's funny because it's a boxing match, but Buff wins with the Buff Blockbuster, and he pinned Piper. So I don't know how you do a pin in a boxing match and why Judy Bagwell's out there. And obviously, Mills Lane is out there for some credibility. Of course, he was the ref in the Tyson Holyfield match, where Holyfield bit off Tyson's ear. And, of course, Judge Mills Lane. Everybody remembers him as well. But what do you think here? Buff Bagwell defeating Piper, but it seemed, you know, they're wearing the boxing gloves. He's beating him by a pinfall. It's a mess.
I love Buff Bagwell. As a person, I hate when people knock him. He's had some bad experiences in his life. I thought the mother thing sucked. And it made him a pussy.
Yeah, it made him weak as hell, being you know, with his mom out there. Just made him look like a total heel. And he's kind of trying to be the baby face here, oddly enough.
When you go with the Scott, I'm embarrassed to hear it.
Right? Terrible.
Yeah.
So next up is the main event of the evening, Randy Macho Man Savage and Sid Vicious, with Medusa, Miss Madness, and Gorgeous George defeated Kevin Nash, who was the world champion, and Sting in a tag team match for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship. Pretty bad match, goes about 13 minutes. But the weird thing is, okay, so it's a tag match, but it's for the championship. But they also throw out there that Sting could somehow pin Nash, even though they're partners.
You're a very smart guy, JP. You know, Kevin didn't come up with that idea.
Who did?
North Tower. This is their bullshit. You can't smell that?
I don't. It's so just confusing just to even think about it. So it's a tag match for the world title, which is terrible. But then the only tag partner can also. It's like so convoluted. It's crazy.
And then we have a fashion show, right?
Yeah.
Madness, Madness Medusa in Gorgeous George.
Yep, Team Madness.
Against Randy, who doesn't look like Randy Savage, and Sid.
Yep.
Was this WCW 95 excitement, or was this WWF watered down?
Very, very watered down. To me, anyway, it just seemed that way.
Very watered down wasn't the thing. This was a cow flap. And Nash, being a good soldier, took it on the chin and never exposed what went on. Just like the thing of Boca Doom. And I've gone over the finger point of doom on YouTube a bunch of times. I want our listeners to go to it and look at the size difference.
Yep, very true. And it's funny here is, okay, Macho Man pins Sid, he's the world champion. They didn't do anything, pins Nash, and he wins the world title, but they didn't do anything with Sting and Nash because they were supposedly, you would think there would be some tension because Sting could win the title. There wasn't any of that, so that was weird. Sid kind of wanted Savage. I know he's part of the team, but he could have won the title, but he almost wanted Savage to win it. It just didn't do anything for me on this one. But Savage ends up getting the pin on Nash and becomes the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Not a good one.
You want me to give you thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
Yes.
50 cow flaps. 1 piled on top of the other.
Terrible baby. Not good.
They grew with them while Perry. Can you, in your mind's eye, see them stomping the shit out of Benoit? Perry reaching over to make the tag. Benoit almost getting there. They're pulling him back in the middle of the ring, making quick tags, beating the shit out of him. Perry goes, come in, pushes him back. Benoit, maybe get some juice. They beat the shit out of him again, shoot him in the ropes, give him something, cover him 1-2, Billy kicks out, which they do to Nausea today. Again, he kicks out, Perry gets the towel, he goes to throw it, Benoit shakes his head with the blood flowing. No, don't do it. He hulks up, makes the comeback, does the dive off the top rope, Perry comes in, drives the other two out, and Benoit wins.
Love it. Sign me up. I love it.
That's Eddie Graham. Courtesy that I remember.
Good stuff. So, obviously, this is a terrible pay-per-view. Even just to add another thing, the following night on Nitro, Hollywood Hogan returns and defeats Macho Man for the WWE World title.
Oh.
So, Macho Man's title reign lasted 24 hours.
Let me ask you this. I compare Macho Man and Hulk to Charlie Brown and Lucy. Lucy's holding the football for 50 years. Charlie, I won't move this time. You see why Randy was half crazy?
Hogan was always preventing him. And it was almost like, okay, yeah, you could win the title for 24 hours. But I'm going to win the next night on Nitro.
No, I'm going to pull the football away.
Yeah.
I'm going to win. Is that the shortest reign of any heavyweight champion?
There's other short ones as well, but that is pretty short. Of Savage's, name power, yeah, it's got to be one of the shortest ones for sure.
I know Sting earlier in 99, he beat DDP on a Nitro. It was April 26, 99 Nitro. He beat him, and then at the end of the show, DDP won a four-way involving Sting, Nash, and Goldberg and won the title back. So even in 99, they were doing quick title changes a few months earlier. So, that, I mean, that was crazy.
Wait a minute. The guys you just mentioned, are they Hogan and Macho's caliber?
No, they're just below. But okay. If you remember back in 98, Savage beat Sting at Spring Stampede 98. Then a day later on Nitro, Hogan won the belt again. So that's 2 years in a row Hogan beat Savage. The same exact thing. Savage held the belt for one day each time.
So what do you think?
Oh, Hogan was messing with him for sure.
Yeah. And Randy was a wonderful guy. I mean, you hear things about him that make me cringe. He was super to me. Super to me. I told you the time in Chicago I'm wrestling. Chicago was his hometown. His father was a huge star in that town. You're aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's supposed to beat me with the elbow drop. We get ready, the elbow drop, and he says, move when I come down. I move, I cover him. I think he's going to kick out. He doesn't kick out. 1, 2, 3. The back to the dressing room said, Randy, what the fuck happened? He said, they never thought it was going to happen. I thought it was good for business.
Wow.
Should some people start that way? Rather than me? Randy was a true consummate pro. Never forgot where he came from. A wonderful human being. I thought the world of Randy Savage. He helped me tremendously.
Gotta love the Macho Man. Yeah. Apparently, though, Hogan loved Macho Man, but he loved to screw with him.
Well said.
So let's hit those plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two-Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Go to Instagram and follow Kevin at Taskmaster Talks. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on?
Well, I'm going to be not wrestling. I'm going to be at Defy this Saturday and Sunday here, and I'm really looking forward to it. Defy is a big organization. It's the first time I've worked for them. I'm really pleased. And don't forget the book, Old School Ring Squared, on Amazon.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks.